This is a HeadGum Podcast.
AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS. It's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning, take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, standing 6'2", 293 pounds from Nassau County, Long Island. He's the number one fuckboy.
Johnny G, all you gotta do is trust me.
Joining me as always in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. He's on allergy meds, so he's very tired. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, returning guest, wedding guest extraordinaire, a friend for a long time, through the codes, in and out of the codes, in the old heyday, in the war at Viacom, and now I am her plus one, currently airing on Netflix on The Wedding Coach. It's comedian, writer, and host Jamie Lee.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
This is so obnoxious considering how many people in my apartment work from home, but so excited to have you back, Jamie. Look, I watched
so
our episode.
To be back.
I watched our episode of no worries. Just fucking talk
stepping
over me.
On you already.
Don't worry. I'm not
going.
You know I'm not gonna stop talking. So just
know,
get
keep
it
going,
in when you
keep
can.
Going. Yeah.
Tiff and I watched your episode our episode last night, and it was so fun. And I was like, oh man, Jamie's so good in this. I miss Jamie. And then I was like, oh, I'm talking to her tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Aww,
and it was very exciting. Yeah, I'm glad.
I had the same feeling. I was like so excited to do this today. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I actually get to hang out with you.
We haven't really seen each other that much since we spent
two separate weekends in Texas together, and one of them going to a Nigerian wedding together.
Yep. We did. There was a lot of drinking involved. It was a very fun time. Yes.
Double Crown Royal and a glass of Sprite. Blarp.
Yeah. So
Carson,
Sprite mixed with any alcohol. I love Sprite.
It just makes you. It just reeks of college. It feels like vodka. Sprite.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Where I'm like, I don't think I could drink that anymore. Like it's too sweet or something.
Right. Like if you went to like a high end cocktail bar and they had guys that were they had on the menu like this is gin and Sprite, you'd be like, what the fuck is this place?
Yeah, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my face right now. No, also like my mom, I don't know why I said, you definitely don't know. My mom is obsessed with she calls it sangria, but it really is. Just like a little bit of wine and some like cut up fruit. And then she adds a shit ton of Sprite to it. And it's actually so good. So Sprite can work in alcohol. That's the one exception.
It does work in alcohol. It just does feel like it's like using Mountain Dew or something. It just feels like grown-ups don't drink it in cocktails. It feels
any of like the sweet lemon lime options.
I got so anti-soda early because I was a kid who was constantly overweight. So I was like, oh, let me get rid of soda because that's so unhealthy. And then I eliminated it from my diet. Still wildly overweight. But every once in a while in New York City, you would see someone like drink soda on the subway and you would just be that's a fucking tourist. And that was like the most New York City thing. It's like no one drinks Pepsi like out of the can or the bottle on the train. No way. It's alcohol, coffee, or it's water in your fucking little special carrying bottle.
But do you have those moments, because I'm also a pretty much a non-soda drinker, but do you have those moments where you're like, I'm going to get a fucking Coke for the first time in a year, and it like blows your mind how delicious it is.
It is. I try to drink less frequently these days, and having soda every once in a while, it feels like I'm like at the movie theaters and I'm stoned and I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna get a cherry Coke. And it feels like, it's like I'm 39 years old and so excited to have a soda and I can have that whenever I want.
Oh man. I remember when CC's Pizza first became a chain and it opened 5 minutes from my house. And it's like every kid in the neighborhood, that is where like their parents took them. And their soda fountain was like, they had, they had the usuals. They had like Coke and Sprite and all the things. But then they also had like root beer and they had some like weird high C options. And we would just like kamikaze it, like, every single one in one cup. And like, it was just my favorite thing to do was just like mix sodas at CC's. So I'm really glad we're going down memory lane with soda.
Yeah. People used to call that shit suicides, right? Like, did you guys?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. What I call kamikaze. Maybe that's a Texas thing.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I'm sure everything has different slang like that. But I was
curious. What does kamikaze actually mean?
The kamikaze pilots were the Japanese pilots in World War II who, if they started to get shot down, would steer their planes at American Navy ships. Like, they were willing to die for the cause. So,
maybe not the best thing to like call a fun kooky drink after.
I would say suicide might fall under that category as well.
Yeah, suicide's also pretty rough. Yeah. Oh my god.
They both involve the person dying. Yeah,
it's so bleak. It's just a sweet, sugary little cocktail.
CC's Pizza. Did it serve pasta?
Oh, what a great segue.
Thank you. I'm a professional host. Two professional hosts just going head to head.
I mean, we really just walked right into it and I liked it. CC's did not serve pasta that I recall. But the reason that I don't know is because even if they had pasta, they had this one type of pizza that was so special that there's no way I would get anything else when I was there. They had an Alfredo pizza. And I guess it was like, I feel like white pizza is like now a thing, like definitely in New York, you can get white pizza everywhere, but I had never seen white pizza and I hated tomato sauce when I was a kid. So when I saw this as an option that you could just have like white sauce on bread and like, I don't even know if there was a lot of cheese on it, to be honest, because cheese is too expensive for CC's to actually like give you. I mean, there's like just like a dash of cheese, but it was mostly just like hot white sauce on bread.
Hell yeah, I fucking
loved it. And the slices were so small that I would eat like 11 pieces. Like just like a psychopath.
The dream come true. I one time ate an entire like Little Caesars Bigfoot pizza at a sleepover when we were like 14. And even my friend's mom was impressed. Like my friend Jimmy's mom was like, Jesus, Gabrus. Like <I'm> so proud of me.
Wait, can I? That actually brings me back to pasta.
Because
the way you were with the, what is it? Oh, Little Caesars. The way you were with the Bigfoot. That is how I feel about pasta. Like there's a real endless quality to it. And it's funny because everyone's like, it fills you up. It fills you up. And I'm like, it doesn't fill you up.
It does not fill me up.
I just keep eating it.
And I don't know what's wrong with my, it might be like psychosomatic in that I find protein and fats filling, but not grains. So like for me to, I can
100%.
And then, all right, so now we're in it on pasta.
I love it. Oh, my God. We're going deep. I can't wait.
My main issue with pasta is that I ate it four or five days a week as a kid growing up.
Same.
Because we were poor and my mom was Italian. So she would be like, make a big thing of sauce on Sunday and then defrost it every day as she needed it. And she's like, oh, we're doing ravs with the sauce on it tonight. Oh, we're doing a penne with the sauce on it tonight. Amazing. Oh, we're doing rigatoni with the sauce. Yeah. And it was so good. And you're like, oh, thank God. And then you would get like maybe the big piece of sausage or like a crumbly meatball on there and live in the dream. But that became so frequent that I never ordered pasta when we went out because we had it so much.
And then
Then I got into college and was choosing my own food for the first time. And I never chose pasta because I was just so burned out by it that I ended up going like a really long time without eating pasta again, which is such a crazy, like I never chose it. And now I'm back around where it's like me ordering pasta is like getting an ice cream sundae. It's like, you know what? Today I'm treating myself and I'm having and I had pasta yesterday in preparation for this. Handmade pasta by former guest of the podcast, Danny Palumbo. He does a little pop-up pastas Sundays at his apartment. And
That's so cool. Wow.
I got a short rib orchiette and Tiffany got a tortellini with pesto and they were both handmade pastas. Handmade sauce was fucking amazing. But I purposely timed it for this conversation. And the second I was eating the pasta, I'm like, wait, now we got to go to this. Like, I got triggered for like 10 LA Italian places that I want to eat their pasta at.
Have you been to, what is it called? Hold on. Pergolata?
Yes.
Pergolata?
That like red pergoletta sauce, like checkered tablecloth place, like over by Los Feliz.
Yeah.
Over by your old apartment? Possibly?
Over by my old apartment, yes. But the thing that's amazing about it, it's like so good for me. Like I'm such a like not finicky eater, but I just like I always have like amendments to the menu. Like I can never just order something the way it comes. I have to be like, can I get this, but do it this way? And what I love about that place is like they have all the different pasta shapes you could ever want. And then they also have all of the sauces you could ever want. And they don't say no to any of your requests. You can mix and mash till your little heart is content.
Oh.
And it is like, really, it is like Sally from When Harry Met Sally's dream restaurant. Like she can just design it exactly the way she wants it. You want to add mushrooms, if you want to add protein, like they'll do anything. They do not say no to you.
I love the sound. When we would order like pizza and pasta in our 20s from places, I would always want chicken parm and then raviolis on the side, but they would be like, no, it just comes with penne. I'd be like, tell me how much it costs to turn that penne into ravs because I just need more cheese as part of my meal.
I'll raise you I'll raise you a ravs and say that I always want them to swap out the marinara for vodka. And I think that a vodka parm also makes so much sense. And there's like one pizza place in New York that I've ordered from. I think it's like Bravo Pizza or something, where they actually have it on the menu as an option.
And Vinny's did a vodka pie one time. And I actually had to sign for it when it showed up because Postmates triggered
like the 21 and over. I had to show my ID to get the pizza because the word vodka activated something in the algorithm.
God,
so I had to show my driver's license to get a pie of pizza to the fucking Postmates guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, vodka sauce is just, it's so next level. It really, it's so good. I love it. It might be one of my favorite foods. I'm a big fan of cream, so.
Oh. Well, let's get into it, because I was going to say white sauce versus red sauce. You like white pizza, so and you just said you're a cream. So you have no lactose issues. But you're willing to live with them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I just like wreck myself for pasta.
honestly, yeah. As you get older,
that's
it's just
I
like
fucking live on the edge.
I can't drink that much anymore, but tonight I'm gonna eat a tray of pasta and drink a glass of red wine, and I'm gonna have to take the morning off. And I'm looking forward, and it's worth the struggle. Like that.
No, it is. It's like worse than your second shot, and you're like on the floor for 2 days. And you're like, this is worth it.
Yeah.
It's got that Moderna quality that I like.
It is. That is like the grown up. That is the late 30s version of getting wasted, where you're like, I can't believe I got that fucked up. You knew you had to do something today. Now it's like, can't believe you ate that many grains yesterday. You knew you had to ride the Peloton this morning, or whatever adult shit you've assigned yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a big cream sauce. And I think vodka sauce might be one of the best sauces for pasta, because it's both, really. It's like red and cream at the same time, which is
What it is too? It's I think I've cracked it. Psychologically, if it's not straight, okay, so our whole lives we've been told Alfredo is heart attack on a plate. Like everybody says that. Alfredo sauce, heart attack on a plate. But if it's pink, it's not technically Alfredo, so you're not technically going to die.
It's got a little bit of tomato in it.
It's got a little bit of class. It's got a little bit of vegetable.
It'll keep you alive for an extra couple of months.
Exactly.
You're
going to
be A-okay. Yes.
Anytime it's like cream pesto cream, vodka cream, mushroom cream, even. I'm like, but it's not Alfredo, so we're good.
Yeah, exactly. And it is like, that is such a real thing of like, well, I took one, I dabbed the grease off the pizza, so I'm fine. Like, I can have 11 slices.
Oh my God, the dabbing the grease. Yes.
That was such a thing. I started doing that.
Such a thing. Sometimes I would use the fucking pizza box because the cardboard was like extra absorbent.
Yeah, you can like just slap it on the top. And yeah.
Like
it's like ashing a joint. You know, you're just like taking your pizza and just dabbing the oil and eating it again.
Because sometimes the paper towel wouldn't sop up enough. Like you'd end up using a whole fucking roll of paper towels, which is not eco-friendly. So that's why I would use the box. It's very resourceful.
I'm a cream sauce guy. More than Alfredo, though, I might have to say my favorite sauce might be a carbonara, which is Alfredo adjacent, obviously, but got a little pancetta in there, or a little pork, however they make it, pork or whatever.
So wait, carbonara, isn't there an egg involved too?
Yes,
did
it's
I make that up?
Yeah, it's egg and pancetta, which is sort of like bacon or high-end like pork or whatever. And so those are both in there. And that's like the yellowy cream sauce.
Yeah,
and I think that's from the yolk. Yeah.
No, that shit's amazing.
That shit's so good.
You know what else has kind of come around? And I'm sure it's been there this whole time, but like, you know how like there's food trends? I feel like cacio e pepe, I'm sure I'm saying that so wrong.
Cacio pepe. You're saying it right.
Cacio pepe is a goddamn blast.
It's so good.
It is so special, and like it blows my mind every time.
I'm loving like the 2021-ness of all this. I mean, this has been maybe the case since like 2015, but I think we're seeing, talking food trends, we're seeing a lot of places or people even now in with it post-pandemic, just people doing solo things or these ghost kitchens or pop-ups or and I think doing one thing really good is like maybe the future of like niche, you know, food production. So like if you're like, there's a place by me that was like open for a while that had like just amazing pasta pomodoro, spaghetti pomodoro, like the plainest shit in the world, but it was so good.
And but when done right,
exactly.
Like that's,
when you find the guy who makes
really
the best grilled
satisfies.
Cheese or the when you find the person who makes the best grilled cheese, it's like, it's simple, but thank you for focusing on this food and like making it good. Like, so, and I think cacio e pepe is a lot of people are like, you know, who has like a bomb cacio e pepe? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just keeps coming up.
Is that a thing? I love that. I think you're, You're right. No, I have actually heard that because I went to a restaurant because someone said that to me. So yes.
Yeah. And it's like a thing people are seeking out. And I think part of it is food trends where it's like everyone is talking about cacio e pepe now. So now it's like we got to step up our cacio e pepe game here. Yeah.
Yeah. So now everybody's doing it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. For a long time, I was always like, I never used pepper. Like if I was in a restaurant and they were like, do you want pepper on your salad? I was like, no, like what is it for? Isn't it kind of like too spicy? Like I just never understood the appeal. And then during the pandemic, I really started to appreciate just like salt and pepper as a seasoning. And it does so much. Like it is incredible. It really is.
Okay. Now we're stumbling into, this is a big thing in our house. I'm a black pepper fanatic because our family was like, we had salt, pepper, and red pepper flakes were like the three seasonings we had in our house that like,
and
I remember being a kid and getting like do you want to put pepper on that? And you would be like, oh, I have agency. And like, all of a sudden you're like making adjustments to your food. And as a kid, you're like, well, that's because I would remember being like getting an unsweetened iced tea and it's like you can add sugar to it at the table and you'd be like, oh, yeah. And you're like,
yeah,
I'm going to add.
I'm making it my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I'm going to add so much. And then you'd be like, oh, this is disgusting. But when you're a kid, like having that, you never get. I mean, I think
you don't get any control.
I think newer generations are probably a little different, too. I'm sure they're like, and what would you like, Davin, or whatever the fuck your name is? however you pronounce your name, Devon, whatever your name is, how would you like your applesauce prepared? You know, like when we were kids, it was like, eat this shit. But the second my dad was like, do you want to add? And then you learn as a kid, you're like, well, that was too much pepper I put on my ham sandwich. Like, that is a disgusting amount of pepper. And you like learn that stuff. And it feels so good to have like to make those choices. And now as a nearly 40-year-old man, I'm a diehard fresh ground black pepper. I've had a pepper mill since I was a bachelor. You know what I mean? Like, that's just something that's always been in my house. And I am a heavy black pepper on anything cream. Creamy soups.
Love that.
Creamy pastas.
I just caught on to it.
It's like it's something about it, like cuts the creaminess with like a little hit. And there's just something about also the black grindings falling onto like something that's white cream. Like
visually, it really does something.
And it like wakes it up in a way, I guess, is if I'm trying to be like, if I was on a food show, I'd go, I find black pepper really wakes up a cream based sauce. Or like New England clam chowder, hit it a few times. Mashed potatoes, hit it a few times.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah.
Ooh, I'm here.
I am so impressed that you were, I ate such bland food when I was a kid. I was like terrified of sauce. I hated anything that was interesting. I only ate like plain hamburgers. I didn't want cheese on them. Everything just needed to be like singular. Like I didn't want foods to mix. I'm so impressed that you were like rocking the pepper, rocking the salt, rocking the pepper flakes. Like
we had a lot of,
I never did that shit.
Oh, that's so interesting. Cause we weren't allowed to be like that. In our family, like my dad was so strict. We weren't allowed to be picky about food. You couldn't say you didn't want to eat something until you ate it and proved like, and you're just like, I do not like this. And then you have to eat it in front of them to like, and say like, I still don't like it, but you at least try it. Yeah.
That's good parenting. My parents really, really, any whim I had, they were like, Jamie doesn't eat that. And like, they'd be in restaurants and like order, you know, based on my little like needs and qualifications, and it ruined me. Although it's so funny because you do grow out of it. I am fully not like that anymore. I eat everything.
Yeah. And you kind of,
thank God. Thank God that was a phase.
Right. Yeah. And my parents weren't, it's funny that I said that, but my parents weren't like worldly or open-minded at all.
It wasn't
like they were like, you have to try this. It's called Tom Kha and it's a traditional Thai soup. My parents were like, no, eat your fucking frozen piece of fish that we put on your plate or whatever. Like that. But, and then early on in my relationship with my now wife, Tiffany, I've been dating forever. Her family is all foodies. Like her mom and her dad owned a restaurant. Her mom is a long cook, and her and her two brothers have so many opinions, and so like they were like unleashed.
It's really cool.
Like Tiffany used to ask for frog legs for her birthday dinner when she was like 14. You know what I mean? Like that's like the kind of family. Like the her dad would make these insane meals every night, and they try. So she's very open to, and I just came from being open-minded, but having no access to, like, when I was 21 at her visiting her parents' house, and they're like, John, there's, you know, herring and cream sauce, there's lamb ragu, and there's, you know, beef ribs in the fridge if you want to try anything. And I was like, I'll have all three. Nuke them all. Microwave it all.
That's
fun. And then
go ahead. I didn't step on what you're saying.
No, it's the same thing. No. I was just going to say, and like, and of course that mothers-in-law and fathers-in-law love that shit. Like,
does Tiffany cook a lot?
And Tiffany does. Well, not in the last couple months, just due to she's launching a new business, but she's the main, I do a lot of the cooking too, but she's like, she can do really exciting things. Like she just makes, she made ceviche for us while we were in Palm Springs, like homemade ceviche with like fresh.
Oh my God. Ceviche is so delicious. See, that's a food I kind of just discovered as well, where I was like, I like ceviche. Where was I?
I love ceviche now too, but I would never think to make it. You know what I mean? Like
my
wife's brain, Tiff's brain works in that way where she's like, I really like this thing, but I bet you I could do it really well. And I'm like,
I love
whoa.
That. That's such a good quality.
Yeah.
Ugh, love that.
And so I'm the best person to cook for because I eat a lot of anything and I'm very effusive with compliments. So like Tiffany is like, I love cooking for you. You just sit here and go, oh my God, and just finish everything I make. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I've been impressing the moms of girlfriends for like 35 years. It's just been like, look at John. He can really eat. I'm like, you're so good at cooking, Mrs. Bernard. I'll have more, please.
But that is, it is so fun. There is such a thing as having a good cooking audience, like similar to a good comedy audience. Like,
yes, yeah.
You want to feel seen through your food that you make. And like, sometimes you'll get compliments. Like, I don't know. They won't say enough or like, it's nice when people are specific about things they like about it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I've definitely cooked for people where I'm like, all right, well, I don't feel like you really enjoyed that because you didn't say anything.
Yeah. I hope you know that I just busted my ass for 90 minutes to 2 hours in the kitchen, no less the prep and purchasing. And I missed out while you guys hung out in the living room and had cocktails while I was whipping up the final set. But yeah, no. If everyone had fun, that's great.
But don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just, you know, keep
eating.
I'm fine.
I don't know why you're being
fine.
Weird.
Yeah, no. You're weird. You're weird.
I'm actually fine. Just coming out with saying that first is like, showing your ass instantly. I'm actually fine, but it's weird that no one gave me, I'm actually okay with this, but it's weird that no one gave me a compliment. It's like, you're lying so much in that first part of the sentence.
Actually, anytime anyone says actually or honestly, you're like, oh, it's a lie.
Yeah. In all honesty, okay, what are you lying to me about?
What are you lying about? Wait, John, I have a pasta question.
Hit me.
Okay. What is your favorite pasta of all time? Like, if you could add anything, like,
ooh, if I could build
toppings, if you could build a pasta, what would you build?
Oh, hell.
And you have to get specific on shape as well.
Ooh, okay. That's tough. And it's going to sound disgusting, but I think my answer would be
macaroni.
No, this is going to be insane. If I'm building, and as a matter of fact, Jamie, the pasta I'm about to say out loud,
okay,
I'm going to eventually make and post a picture of and tag you in it because you just activated something in me. I'm like, here's what I want to make. I want ravioli, cheese ravioli.
Cheese ravioli.
Chopped up chicken parm, like pieces of chicken parm.
Incredible.
Like chicken breaded cutlet with some cheese on top of that, on top of the rav. And then bolognese on top of all of it.
Okay, to me, that doesn't sound crazy.
It doesn't.
I think that sounds delicious. I would eat that in a heartbeat. I mean, okay, I will be honest with you. Like, how do you say it? Bolognese? I don't know what I'm saying.
Bolognese,
right?
I say bolognese, but also Italian-Americans say everything wrong. Like, that's our thing is like, we're like, oh, calamari, we call that galamad. And then real Italians will be like, what are you talking about? It's like, that's what my grandpa called it. And they're like, where's your grandpa from? I'm like, Queens? And they're like, yeah, no. That's just Italian Americans have changed the way they pronounce a lot of stuff. So my whole family does all that shit. But
that's
bolognese or bolognese, it's meat sauce.
The meat sauce. The meat sauce to me, I just feel like you don't need it.
No.
From what you've said, I totally agree with you on the cheese, though.
My favorite kind of red sauce because my grandpa used to make it this way. He was not the cook. My grandma, his wife was, and she passed away. But he would cook for, he would cook for us every once in a while, and he would just take a ton of ground beef and red sauce, and it would be, we used to joke and call it Ginzo chili, because it was mm-hmm. like just ground beef and marinara. It was like literally nacho topping. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you could eat it like, it was like sloppy Joe, more or less. It was like Italian sloppy Joe. And it was so, you could put that on any pasta, and it was like eating, you know, red sauce tacos or something, because it was just so much beef.
Oh, God.
And then there's a there's a place here on Melrose, not too far from where I live, called We Melrose, O-U-I, like the and they do a lot of great breads and pastries and stuff, but and they do sandwiches and burgers. One of the sandwiches they do is chicken parm with bolognese sauce, like meat sauce.
Wow!
Because chicken parm always has some red sauce on it, obviously. Yeah. If you're, so they just use bolognese instead. And so it kind of gives it a little like two texture. It is.
Wait, is this where you got the idea, or you independently?
That's where I got the idea.
To combo the chicken and the beef. Okay.
Yeah. And then I was like, throw that all on top of ravioli, because I'm a fucking
pig.
Right,
because that's your signature.
Yeah, exactly.
The ravioli is your signature. Yeah. I love that ravioli is your
go-to,
because it's kind of flat. It's not, there's not really much to sink your teeth into.
Yeah, I love a cut of rav in half.
Oh, cut a rab. Okay.
Use it as like a broom and butler to get a bunch of sauce. like a pool skimmer.
Like a dustpan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like yeah.
Scrape a bunch of sauce into it. Hold it perpendicular so it sits in it like a pocket. And then I take that big ass bite. Yeah.
Okay.
There's something about
rabs. You prefer that to a tortellini? Because I feel like tortellini, you get to like your teeth go into some more like pasta.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking for this specific dish. I'm looking for a hefty, meaty pasta. So torts can work for me. Gnocchi can work for me here. Gnocchi for me sometimes gets a little same. Like you end up, like you feel like you're eating like a polenta or something. Like it gets a little, but any pasta I'd be happy with there. But I'm a fan of like the torts and the ravs, because it's just even more going. Because I'm looking for filling, because like we previously discussed, if you give me a bowl of like linguine with clam sauce, I feel like I could eat, I can like Lady in the Tramp, you know what I mean? You could put a trough 100%. In front of me and I could just keep going.
Ooh, I'm getting hungry. And luckily for me, I've got some HelloFresh meals over in the fridge so that okay. You know what HelloFresh is. You listen to podcasts, you listen to High and Mighty, so you've heard me talk about it before. It's a wonderful meal planning delivery system. I love all that, you know, sends you the recipe. You get to, but the highlight for me, and this is like low key, I know this is a little bit of a champagne problem, but this is the most important thing for me, is like eliminate the decision just a couple of nights a week. Yeah, I know everyone's like, but what if I'm in the mood for blank? Food has become sort of like an extra stressor of like thinking about what I want to make for dinner, or thinking about what we want to order. Oh, the carbon footprint of delivery, blah, 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 all that stuff. So with HelloFresh, you know, they just pick your meal. So there's no meal planning, no grocery store trips. They just show up and, you know, you can have dinner. And then we get into all the other classic fun stuff that other people love, and which I also am a big fan of, is that it takes 30 minutes or less. Their meal's ready in 20 minutes or less. They have 25 plus recipes to choose off, and from vegetarian meals to craft burgers, my favorite section, and extra special gourmet options, there's something for everyone to enjoy. So you could, you know, look through the recipes, grab what you want. HelloFresh is a wide, and they're all easy. You can do, you know, they have breakfast recipes, lunch recipes, as whatever you need. And then it's all fresh ingredients. And eliminating having to go shopping and eliminating having to make the decisions and taking that errand out, leaving me with just the job of cooking, really lets me focus on like, I'm learning to cook for myself very well. So it's been super helpful in that way, where I don't have to worry about picking stuff out and stuff. So get on that Kraft burger, get that Gouda burger for yourself if you get a chance. It's my favorite thing. I get it as frequently as possible. Whenever they're like, "Hey, we want to send you another box, thanks for advertising," I'm like, "Yo, see if I can get that burger thing." So go to HelloFresh.com/high12 and use code high12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/HIGH12 and use code high12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. America's number one meal kit.
high mighty. Can we talk about, okay, I want to talk about linguine clams because there's, I have a real issue with that pasta. I don't have an issue with it taste-wise. It's as I get to my favorite type of pasta.
I was about to say, yeah.
It's up there. It's up there. I love clams. I love the dish. But every time I've ever ordered that in a restaurant, and I make that distinction because if you order it from a pizza place, they kind of have a fix for it, or a pizza place in New York, they kind of have a fix for it, which I'll get to. But if you order it in a regular restaurant, they always give you like three clams. And then it's just like a bowl of pasta in oil. And you're like, this isn't that satisfying.
Yeah.
But if you order it from a pizza place in New York, they will oftentimes, they'll have like three real clams like in their shell. And then they what's the word I'm looking for? Supplement. Ah. They supplement with like a
some chopped clams.
Chopped clam sauce.
So yeah. Smart. So smart.
So smart and so appreciated. So now that way there's clams in every bite.
Have you ever eaten at Craig's in Beverly Hills?
I want to. I keep
when the world
about
when
it.
The world's open, we should go because
okay.
Tiff is a huge linguine with clam sauce fan. She actually makes a stellar linguine with clam sauce, but Jerry Weintraub's clam show, which is the name of the dish at Craig's,
is
one of her favorite linguinis with clam sauce.
What is it? Like, what's the deal with it?
Clam heavy, big fucking bowl of Craig's, the whole vibe is it's like throwback Hollywood. So it's like white tablecloths, green leather booths. So if you order the overpriced linguine with clam sauce, it is like in a fucking, like a Roman trough. Like
Exactly. A trough. Okay, it's like, okay, good.
It's like for a fucking Roman emperor to eat while, like, you know, he watches his concubines fight each other to death or whatever. I don't even know. It's so indulgent. And they have a solid chicken parm over there, too. I like a lot of the Craig's food, but they're Italian.
People love Craig's.
It works. It works. And best celebrity sightings I've had in LA are there and Crossroads, the vegan place on Melrose, too. Tiffany has seen, saw Jake Gyllenhaal, Tobey Maguire, and Leonardo DiCaprio there. Not all together.
At one table? Oh,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. No, that would have been a fucking.
Wait. But not the same day.
Different days.
Okay. Wow.
And then one time we took her mom and stepdad to Craig's, and when we walked in, what's her name? Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I can't place it off the actor's name. And Sam Jackson sitting at a table as we walk past them talking to each other. Then we sat down and look over and it's just John Turturro at a different table hosting.
Shit.
And it was like, oh man.
Oh, that is juicy. I love that.
Octavia Spencer. It came to me. It was Sam Jackson and Octavia Spencer talking. Oof. I was going to say Olivia. That's why my brain was broken. I couldn't, if I would have said Octavia, I would have gotten her last name. But Craig's great for that. Let's go. Let's build Jamie
we
Lee's
have to do that.
Big pasta.
Though. Oh, my pasta?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Okay. We have to go get Craig's separately.
We have to get Craig's.
What's your dream build pasta?
My dream.
Here?
Okay. Well, I think my be all end all is a mixed probably shape-wise. Wow. I love fusilli, but I don't know that that would work with this. So I'm, for the function of the dish, I'm going to go fettuccine or pappardelle.
Pappardelle. Big fan over here.
Big fan. And I'm going to do some kind of white sauce. It can be like more garlic and oil, but it has to have like at least a dash of cream.
I love it.
Yeah. And then I want mixed seafood on top. I want it to be calamari forward.
Yes.
Like, and all, mostly legs. I don't need rings.
Okay. Calamari, by the way, calamari forward should be the name of your production company. Like the end title card, calamari forward. That's a very funny phrase for some reason. It's burned into my head forever now. You saying that one time, those two words back to back, just I've never heard them paired like that.
So, I don't think they've ever come out of my mouth like that.
Yeah,
either.
No, I don't think anyone's
first
mouth.
For everybody. I'm pretty sure no one in the world has ever said that. Yeah, sure. I think that's a purely original pairing of words. But yeah, so calamari forward. I don't really need mussels. I'm going to be honest. Like,
I'm not a mussel fan. They're my least favorite of the seafood.
Yeah, they're cool if you're doing like a Belgian throwback
with some fries.
Yeah, but I don't need a mussel in my pasta. So yeah, mostly calamari, definitely clams. I mean, God, if we want to get real deep, like some scungili, I fucking love.
Look at you, a little scungil. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I love it.
I call my dog scungil all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so cute.
Yeah, he's a little scungil.
So, oh my God, he is a little scungil.
The fuck out of here, you little scungil, is what I'll say to him.
You guys have a great relationship.
Yeah, it's great. He hates me, actually. I kind of crossed the line recently with that.
Is scungili, it's just conch, right? Is that
yeah,
what it is?
I'm pretty sure it's just a shellfish. We used to use scungili for like in a pasta sauce too growing up. And I think it is like just conch or just some sort of shellfish. It also might be one of those things where it's like 11 different things are just called scungili, you know.
Yeah, they're like, forget about it. Don't ask what it is. Don't ask. So, I would have some of that. And then I definitely do want some Parmesan. I know people say, like, you shouldn't have cheese with seafood, but I disagree.
Yeah, I stand with Jamie Lee on this one, too. Though, I'll always listen to the chef's rules. I'm not going to be a guy who's like, we don't do cheese here. I'm like, I won't be like, that's bullshit. I'll never come here again. But
yeah.
If they're like, do you want cheese? I won't be like, no, the rules state no cheese on seafood pasta. I'd be like, give me Parm on everything. And now I'm like, give me Parm. Give me a little dash of red pepper flake.
Yeah, I'll take all of that.
Some microgreens, a little chopped up basil to sprinkle Absolutely. Throughout that. Just wake it up a little. Wake it up with some herbs.
A
little Italian flat parsley chopped up. Sprinkle.
Parsley. I used to kind of think parsley was stupid because there was this diner near my house growing up that would put parsley on every breakfast plate. Like, it would be like pancakes and there's parsley on the side. That was like the garnish they used.
That was a thing for like 20 years, it felt like, right? Like,
so
our generation
goofy.
Grew up just like putting, like, Friendlies would have like chicken tenders, French fries, and a piece of parsley on the table, on the plate. And you're like, the fuck? I'm a kid. I'm not going to eat this leaf.
There was like parsley at this place. It was called JoJo's. There was a parsley and then like a slice of orange. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is this? I don't even register it as like a classy touch. It's just unnecessary.
Is it to fight scurvy? Did this used to have a big pirate audience or something?
Yeah. Is there like an Eastern medicine component that we're not aware of? Yeah. This is going to like heal my wounds. I don't know.
Yeah. And then in the last couple of years, Tiffany she's like a crazy, fresh herb person. So we're sprinkling greens on top of like all our dishes at the end, more or less. And for our generation, it's like, put parsley on it. You're like, ew, no, I don't want a big leaf. But I'll tell you, Jamie, if you're ever making pasta at home and you want to plus it up big time, get a pair of scissors and just like snip one basil leaf all over it or one little piece
God,
of parsley.
Snip,
and go even further. They make these herb scissors that are like four blades and four blades. So you could just like the hair cutting scissors and just drop like random chunks like all it's
oh that's incredible
and you truly feel like it's one of those things that's so dumb, so easy, so inexpensive, and really like will make your dish look more professional. But God help you if you're cooking for someone and they catch you busting out scissors to cut a leaf over their food, you know, deal's closed. You know what I mean? For the listeners, if you're cooking for us on a date and she or he catches you using scissors to cut herbs, that shit looks, it makes you look like a professional. And it's the dumbest, like it's so little, but it really, it's like using tongs when you're not supposed to use using tongs to make pasta. You all of a sudden feel like Top Chef.
Absolutely. And it's like, tongs in a pot is like,
You feel
what you're doing.
Exactly. And even if you don't, it just feels like, I'll flip this steak with tongs. Like, who the fuck
am I? No, it's like such a decisive, it's such a power move. It's so just like, I know what I'm doing.
And if you're like, weigh in, listeners, if you were on a date and a person fresh cut you for fucking herbs on top of your pasta, it's a, you know, deal closer. It fucking ends the evening for both parties in a good way.
I love that. Also, if someone did that, I would... Even if the food didn't taste good, if someone like cut herbs over my food, I would just be like, psychologically, I'd be like, this is delicious.
Yeah,
like,
I appreciate the effort. Yeah, it makes it look and feel fresher.
Yes.
Like Allison Romaine's recipes on the New York Times blog. She's great.
Yeah.
Her food is great. Easy to, not easy to make, but possible to make. And very good. But she's always like, dash of mint at the end, blank, because it really makes it look slightly more professional. Like you can really cover your tracks a little if you have some fresh greens at the end. Also, prevents your plate from just being like a linguine with clam sauce could look pretty gray. You know what I mean? Like,
The clams are quite gray.
Clams, it's like grayish yellow, and you're like, totally. Sprinkle a little bit of green in the green
makes it. I totally agree with that. Yeah, it's kind of an unsightly dish, and yeah, you do need a little green.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Oh man, green. Now I want pasta, and I ate pasta.
I know,
pasta and Taco Bell yesterday. I did some damage to my body. Two separate meals. Yeah, hand cooked pasta from a friend, a comedy guy, and then ordering Taco Bell
and then
5 hours.
Completely negate it with a gordita.
Couple of cheesy gordita crunches for the boys. No big whoop.
No big whoop.
Do you have like any other pasta proclivities? Like, are there things where you're like, I don't fuck with this pasta? Or like, if I'm ever back in your Houston, right? Or the Houston area?
Dallas
area. The same shit to us New Yorkers. But I understand that those are two completely different major cities that are 6 hours apart. Is there a place, like, if you're back home, you're like, I'm going to this place and getting this pasta? Or if, like, you're back in New York or... In New York, I don't even know where you're
I'm in New York right now.
Is there a possible, or when you come back to LA, it sounds like La Pergoletta, but are there places that you're like, when the world's open, I got to go here again, or I can't wait to
question. Yeah. Strangely in Texas, no. Like, the thing I get excited for going home to Texas is Mexican food, and that's what I eat pretty much every meal there. But when I'm in New York, yes. What I really love, and it's not my seafood one, but what I really love is there's a Ray's Pizza on 9th Avenue. I believe it's still there, but,
is it like 9th and like 51st or lower?
No, it's like 9th, like maybe in the teens or 20s. Okay. And I just used to order from there a lot, and they were really good at taking my When Harry Met Sally amendments. They just like listened to all of them and honored all of my requests. But they did a baked ziti with meat sauce, and then they would like burn the cheese on top.
Yes.
And the burnt cheese is really important. Like, it's actually a completely different taste than just melted cheese. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they would always do it. And
baked ziti, baked lasagna.
It's incredible.
That little cheesy crust edge is so integral.
It is so integral. And like the bolognese, the meat sauce ziti should be an option always. And I'm not really sure why it's not, because it's such an easy fix. And it's like not that much of a departure from just regular red sauce.
Right.
So I'm always like, why is it not on the menu? Like, it doesn't feel like a crazy order or anything. But a lot of places don't do it. So you have to be like, can you exchange the marinara for bolognese? And they're like, I guess we can do that. Yeah. And you're like, how has no one requested this before? Why is this like throwing you off that I'm asking for it?
Yeah. It feels like a lot of often, like, these places are like, it's just, we have this giant pot of red sauce going all day long that we're like, yeah, we could throw, we could throw that on some cold penne and put it with your, whatever else you ordered. And you're like, no. I'm going to eat that. I don't need noodles and gravy. I want, like, if I'm going to eat a side of pasta, let's plus up my little side of pasta. Like, that's the kind of thing.
Exactly.
Like, and I mean, it is very modern of us to be like, well, if I'm going to eat something little on the plate, I want even way more effort to be put into it. Like, but if I have chicken parm, a side of just like wet red sauce pasta doesn't hit me like side of rav with some cream sauce or like tortellini pesto or something on the side just to jazz it up, you know, like.
And it's so weird to be like, it makes sense, like, I guess, like, money-wise for them. Like, they don't want to, like, give you a whole other dish on the side. Like, I get that. But it is frustrating when they're like, do you want pasta? And then they're like, take it as it is. You're like, wait, but if you're offering pasta, like, I have things I like specifically in my pasta. And, like, I don't want just penne with red sauce. Like, let's talk about what we could do with this pasta.
Fuck yeah. I weirdly got like horny energy talking about pasta. Like you just talked about that pasta, and I literally went fuck yeah, like while like sort of biting my lip. And I was like, wait, this is not how you're supposed to talk about food, but it definitely activated you. I was like, yeah. I'm like, so red in the face right now. But I did just go, fuck yeah.
Oh
boy, that's
oh my
weird.
God, that's so funny. Oh my God. It's the funniest thing.
I'm humiliated. I love it.
That no, it literally made my day. The fact that we're just talking about pasta.
And I, yeah, I mean, maybe I need to take a fucking cold shower after this.
I'm dying. Oh my God.
Speaking of pasta, that was one of the foods you and I didn't eat at a Texan-Nigerian wedding. We had a lot of other foods, though. One of the distinct things I remember was, we had goat. I remember cow skin or some sort of animal skin.
I ate that too.
And it was like weirdly gelatinous, but not awful.
It wasn't awful, but I definitely didn't keep eating it. Yeah. I finished mine like a
good boy.
You did?
I went up for a second plate and they were kind of like, trying to move on, and I was like, oh, okay like my entire life of like, is there any more of this? And they're like, no, we cooked enough food for humans, not expecting you to show up here, you fucking monster.
The goat, I had never had goat before, and I didn't know if I wanted to have goat before, but we're eating at a wedding and that's what they were serving, and I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, goat's a good meat, but especially when it's prepared in sort of like a stew of some sort, because it is tough. Mm-hmm. So the longer you cook that goat, like curry goat and stuff like that, the better it hits.
Which is kind of what we had, right?
A goat stew of some sort. But we're talking about The Wedding Coach on Netflix, which is your new TV show that you host. Just came out in mid-April. This episode's airing at the end of April. You go from, it's a classic wedding, like, it's my dream come true. It's like, I will put on 10 hours of wedding shows and just zone out. But I always say, like, why not have someone funny here? And now we have it. We have a wedding reality show that follows. It's a different vibe than a lot of other wedding reality shows, but it does follow of like, meet the couple. Here's their issues. Yep. Here's how we tackle them. Check out how their wedding was pulled off with some issues or none, ideally. And just adding you, a person who has strong wedding opinions and is funny, is such a huge addition to the idea of a wedding show. It's crazy that this hasn't happened sooner, and I'm pumped it's you, dude.
Oh, that's, that makes me so happy to hear. I don't even know what to say to that. I felt the same way you did, though, where I was watching wedding shows and I love them and I wouldn't want them to be any different. But I was like, there is an opportunity here to like have more like funny type of fun with weddings and like merge funny with like the sweetness and the seriousness. Like to me, that's kind of like the sweet spot of like the type of show I want to watch. So I'm just glad people like it. Like, I mean, you know, it's only been out for a little while, but it is really nice to like get nice messages and different people respond to such different things. Like there's one episode where our bride, bride and groom, they weren't really close to their families. And, the bride actually was like estranged from her mom. And we didn't really follow that storyline too closely, but there was a part where I said like, well, not everyone's family tree looks the same or something. That was kind of like general advice that I didn't really think twice about. I was like, well, yeah, like you shouldn't feel alone. Like everyone's families are, even functional families are dysfunctional. You know what I mean? Like,
especially around weddings.
Totally. And like every family is kind of like its own cult, honestly. So like, don't feel ashamed. And I got this message about it, that like paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs about how much that moment meant to this person watching, just saying like, I am also estranged from my mom. And like, you know, I'd never heard anyone talk about it on TV like that. And I was like, oh my God, like that wasn't even the mission of the episode. And it's just kind of this like cool, like ancillary benefit that came out of it. So that's when you get messages like that, it's really nice. You're like, oh, TV helps people.
It's pretty crazy when you're reminded, because we treat ourselves with such, we're so accustomed to placing ourselves as like the low status character or the low status person because we're comics. And it's just like, me, I'm just Jamie Lee here. Eat some pasta, be funny, blah, blah, blah. But then someone's like, thank you, Jamie Lee, because of your openness, your opinions, your empathy. You made me feel differently while watching. It's like, oh, right. Yeah, I guess that can possibly happen.
Oh, yeah. You can connect with people through your show. Like, because I'm working on Ted Lasso, and Ted Lasso, I know, such a good show. It's so good.
You and my friend T-Bone, Leanne, both got, when I saw that you guys are both in the writer's room, I sent two separate texts. I'm like, this is so exciting to compliment someone and mean it about a show. Like,
oh, God, no kidding.
Like, it feels so good to be like, it's a show that is universally liked and should be. Like, I mean,
yeah, and should be. Yeah.
If you're going to watch a show, you got to watch Wedding Coach. But if you have time to watch two shows, also watch Ted Lasso, because I watched the first five episodes by myself because I'm a Sudeikis fan and I like the premise. Sure. Didn't know anything about it. Put it on. Blew my fucking mind.
Aww.
The premise of the show is just a guy who's so likable, but he's put in a position where everyone should hate him. That's an insane premise for a show. Sudeikis somehow pulls it off. And I have my own things I'm dealing with Rebecca. But I watched five episodes, went to my wife and said, went to Tiff, and I was like, I'm starting the show over with you today. You have to watch it with me.
Oh,
and I just rewatched
amazing.
The first five episodes with her.
That's so cool.
You know, like that husband
that.
Or partner watch where you just watch
like,
them.
Check it out. Check it out. Like, yeah, you're just looking at them, looking at the TV.
And I'm like, he's been making the scones. Like, I'm like, when I look, like tears in my eyes, like, Tiffany, he's been making them. Like the fucking darts moment. Ah. And I have a mega crush on Rebecca. Like,
oh, yeah, I get that. She's stunning.
I want her to punch me or choke, like something with her broad, muscular arms and shoulders. I want
her
to like.
She is so ripped.
She can, I give her full permission, and I think Tiff would approve, to walk up behind me and snap my neck. I think that would be peak arousal for me, for her to just kill me and let me go. I need to take a shower for sure. Jamie's wielding pepper spray through Zoom. Just in case.
No, she is so fabulous. She's such
so
a good actor.
And Juno Temple is so good. Everyone is so... It's one of the few shows, too, where you give a shit about every character, even not like...
I know.
Here he goes, the Spanish soccer player, this fucking guy. And it's like, no. I care so much. As soon as he shows
up,
you guys do a great job of just... Every Nate the Great, like every character you just give a shit about and you're happy for them, and you guys give them their due. Like you let them be on camera, let them grow, and it's not like it. I don't know. There's something special about that show. I'm looking forward to way more of it.
I feel like it's so funny when, yeah, because I think people, that's another show where like, that's actually not another show. I feel like it's kind of the only show where like, I think people, I mean, who knows, but I feel like the level of, we don't get like, I mean, sure we get praise for it, yes, because it's doing well, but like the amount of people who write things that are like, you know, it helped me get through my cancer. You're just like, fuck, like this show, it's funny in the writer's room, you aren't aware. It's not like we went in with that mission. It's like, we knew we were writing about a guy who was capable of those things, but like, you don't really know until the show comes out how people are going to respond. So when you get messages like that, you're just like, you forget that TV can like heal people.
Right. Right. You're just like, oh, that would be a funny joke. And then people are
yes,
like, thank
totally.
You. Yeah. I found the show in the pandemic, obviously. So like that was fucking helpful to just have unbridled positivity. And a funny show. And it's not like it's a toothless show. It's just that it's not a children's show. But Sudeikis' character is just relentlessly charming and is going through shit. But the idea, like, I don't think it's a spoiler to say this, but like watching a guy who's relentlessly positive deal with a divorce is like an insanely interesting idea for television. And it's wild to watch. It's fucking cool. Like, it's such a good idea.
Yeah.
So fun.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, Jamie Lee. Anything else you want to plug before you get out? You got any dates coming up? Stand-up dates? You guys going out to get pasta? You want to go out to get pasta with me?
I have stand-up dates, but later, and I'm not really sure when they are because I'm just sort of starting to wrap my head around the fact that stand-up is coming back.
Yikes! So, live shows again. Oh, no.
Yeah, so yes, there will be dates, but in the meantime, you can just watch The Wedding Coach. That would be amazing. And you can follow me on Instagram @reallyjamielee.
Nice.
That's it.
Hell yeah. And also, I'm sure you'll announce your dates there if anyone's
looking to
post.
Absolutely.
And I highly recommend anyone around America, and this is not just for Jamie, this goes for everybody. If a comic that you like is coming to your town post-pandemic, keep in mind that they haven't worked for a year. They're risking their life to bring you entertainment. Get your fucking shots and go see them. Go get your shots, buy some tickets and go see them, or buy some merch, or download their podcast, or listen to their Patreon. People are out there fucking hustling. So when you see Jamie's tickets, go see her. Or I'll plug anyone who's coming to your town once you feel safe, not these motherfuckers who've been working this last year, who I hate and am jealous of at the same time. But do this for yourself. Get vaxxed up and go see live comedy in the new world. We got to bring comedy back. And let's just, it's a two-way street. We can't do it for nobody. So come out.
It's true.
And we promise we'll bring it and we'll try our fucking hardest. So see live shows, see Jamie, watch The Wedding Coach at Really Jamie Lee on Instagram. Watch Ted Lasso. If you haven't, that's not even a plug for Jamie. That's just do that to make yourself feel better about life. Otherwise, Jamie, this was a fucking blast. Thank you
so
much.
An actual blast. I had so much fun.
It was awesome to catch up to. Pasta is important. If I could, I just should have said at some point on this podcast, the way my mom, an Italian woman, made a name, Joanne Valentino, this is how she says pasta. Jonathan, you want any more pasta? Do you want any more pasta?
I've never heard it.
You want pasta?
I'm going to call it that. My dad calls fajitas frajitas. He has an R for no reason.
Fajitas would have been almost understandable, but
frajitas.
Interesting cat. I like this guy. Get yourself some fajitas at Really Jamie Lee. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out my other podcast, Action Boys. It's a paid podcast, but I think you could afford it. And if not, we have some free episodes on wherever you get podcasts. That's about it for now. If this is at the end of April, get hyped. Keep your eyes peeled for some upcoming High and Mighty touring dates. Your boy wants to get back out there and get high and talk in front of strangers. But don't talk to me after the show, you fucking freaks. I'm just kidding. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room with them.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!